This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. President Trump's DACA decision yesterday has put the onus on Congress now. Pass immigration reform, that Trump effectively said, if you don't like the idea of threatening young so-called dreamers with deportation. Here's the president this afternoon on Air Force One.
I'd like to see something where we have good border security and we have a great DACA transaction where everybody is happy and now they don't have to worry about it anymore.
Well, DACA, or the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program, is just one part of the long debate over immigration reform. But now that the president has so thoroughly punted to Congress, we wanted to take a look back at the long history of fitful immigration legislation in this country to gauge whether immigration reform has any better chance of passing now. Susan Davis is a congressional reporter for NPR, and she's covered Congress, elections, and national politics since 2002, and she joins us. Susan, welcome to Radio Boston.
Oh, hey, thanks for having me.
It's great to have you. So if we could, let's march sort of backwards in time here a little bit. And I just wanted to start with the sort of most recent attempt that Congress made at immigration reform. I mean, it went from roughly May 2012, when President Obama said he was hopeful that some sort of immigration legislation could pass because it was a bipartisan issue, to, what was it, June 2014, when Representative Luis Gutierrez declared immigration reform dead on Capitol Hill. So what happened?
Well, there's been a long fight on this, particularly it depends on which iteration of immigration reform we're talking about. In the short term right now, we're now talking about the DREAM Act, which specifically targeted the children of those brought here. Children and people who were brought to this country and by through no choice of their own. So the first iteration of that DREAM Act was introduced in 2001. So the proposal has existed in Congress for 16 years. Mm-hmm. And as you noted, there has been moments in the course of those 16 years where Congress came pretty close. And that most recent time, as you referenced, was after the Senate did actually pass a comprehensive immigration piece of legislation that would have created a path to citizenship, not just for those children, but for their parents as well. And that legislation was derailed, as most immigration efforts have been, by politics.
Right.
Shortly after the Senate had passed that bill, if you remember, then House Majority Leader Eric Cantor was defeated in a primary. It was a historic loss, and it was politically interpreted as the Republican Party rebelling against this idea of passing comprehensive immigration. And his loss effectively killed immigration in Congress. And there hasn't really been a sincere revival of that effort since then. We're seeing it now.
So that was those historic 2014 midterms, right? And I mean, Republican House leadership up until that time had been operating under the assumption that they would get through that election cycle and then take care of immigration reform. But we had the rise of right-wing Republicans that were immigration reform skeptics. I mean, what was their pushback to the proposals that were on the table?
That's a really good point, because I always think it's worth reminding people that historically the Republican Party has been for this kind of immigration reform. I kind of describe it as the split, and I think we saw that split intensify after the 2010 elections and the rise of sort of the shorthand, we call it the Tea Party movement, and a division within the Republican Party between a more nativist or nationalist view, which I think was perfectly captured by the Trump campaign in 2016. In a more, I call it Chamber of Commerce Republicans, mm-hmm. for short, sort of mm-hmm. the business allies of the traditional allies of the Republican Party, who have always been in favor of comprehensive immigration reform. And there is a philosophical split there between those who see immigration as an economic boon, as something that is good for the country, both in the short and long term, and those who see it, I think that has been articulated by the president at times, by his attorney general, Jeff Sessions, as an economic threat. That it is about taking jobs away, that it is about a net negative for American citizens. And that philosophical clash is very real. Now we have a moment where we have a president who, even though he campaigned on a lot of those ideas, is philosophically flexible. And I think that that was proven again this week in the way he spoke about DACA and dreamers, as they're often called. And, you know, at the one hand, he's ending this program and threatening to end it. But at the other, he's also saying he wants a compassionate answer. He wants a humane answer. Mm-hmm. And today, he suggested that he wants to work with Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi to get that done. If you're saying you want to work with Democrats, you by nature have to be open to a path to citizenship for these kids.
Right.
Or now, I should say, we call them kids, but if they're DACA recipients, they tend to now be mainly in their mid-20s, though they were brought here as children.
Right. So Susan, this is really fascinating because you're bound up in this story about America's struggle with immigration reform is this transformation of the GOP as well.
Yeah.
And so I want to play a tape that will truly feel like a blast from the past. This is President George W. Bush advocating for comprehensive immigration reform to a group of business leaders back in 2007.
Our soul is constantly renewed. Our spirit is invigorated when people come here and realize the blessings of America. And so the bill that we've worked hard to craft is an important piece of legislation that addresses the needs of a failed system that says we're going to change for the better.
So that's President George W. Bush in 2007 talking about that version of immigration reform. But there was even some pushback then, right? There was concern over reform being equal to amnesty from some quarters.
Right. And I think anything that they decide to do on immigration, whether it has a path to a legal status or citizenship or some kind of clarity, by immigration hardliners, that will always be seen as amnesty. For many elements of the Republican Party, there is just no answer beyond deportation or go home and get back in line or enforce the law first, or we can't do anything until we can completely secure the borders. That used to be more of a minority view in the Republican Party. I think, as you can hear from sort of the George W. Bush era, when he was president, he supported more comprehensive immigration. Even if you recall after the 2012 election, when the Republican Party did the autopsy on why they lost.
Right, right.
And one of those conclusions was the party had to take a more expansive view about immigration legislation to not discourage Latino Americans from feeling like they could belong in the Republican Party. Now, this is the part about politics where it's an art and not a science, is that Donald Trump won the presidential election by kind of rejecting all of those lessons. So, you know, the past, there's never really been, as I said, there's been these moments where the stars seem to align and then some kind of political element happens that shakes it. And now we're back where things start to be aligning. Whether they can deliver this time, it's too hard to predict. But I would say there is bipartisan support for the DREAM Act. That's one of the things that's so wacky about this, is that they probably have the votes for it in Congress. They just might not want to pass it the way it needs to be passed, which is a Republican majority-controlled Congress essentially handing over the floor to Democrats and letting them lead the way to pass legislation with a minority of Republican support. That isn't generally how any party likes to run their majorities, is by letting the minority have the say. The thing is that depends on what the president wants.
Right.
You know, what does he want? And while he has called on Congress to act, he hasn't really told them what he will sign or won't sign. What does he want?
So,
and until we get an answer to that question, I think it's going to be hard to say for sure.
Susan, so many questions. This is so fascinating to me. But so, but about the DREAM Act specifically, though, I mean, last time that was up before Congress, at least if I remember correctly, on the House side, even though there's bipartisan support for it as a concept, it didn't pass, right? I mean, like there was political pushback against it. So I'm just curious about, maybe the answer is we don't know, but like what's ostensibly different this time around?
Well, you know, and there was also another attempt in 2010, and it did pass the House when Democrats were in control, and it failed in the Senate when Democrats were in control. So there is no party that hasn't had some element of blame for the failure of this legislation. In 2010, when it failed, it was because a number of Senate Democrats in Republican-leaning states who were heading into the 2010 midterms, where they could feel that their voters were not happy with immigration legislation, voted against it. Four of those five Democrats aren't in the Senate anymore.
Mm.
So the math has changed. I think the political calculus has changed. And I think part of the political calculus for acting now is Speaker Paul Ryan and Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell look at this issue and think, hey, do we want to deal with this now, or do we want to have this sort of immigration cliff in March of 2018 in the spring of a midterm election year?
Can I just jump in here for a second? Because I want to ask you about that, because you touched on it earlier, that there's also this deeper question about the Republican Party as a whole and sort of where it stands regarding the growing Latino electorate, right?
Yeah.
Because back in 2004, According to some numbers from ProPublica, President George W. Bush in 2004 won 44% of Latino voters. By 2012, Governor Romney won just 27% of the Hispanic vote. And of course, you know, whether or not President Trump right now is showing some flexibility on DACA specifically, during the campaign, he ran on, rhetoric that was, very anti-immigration, mm-hmm. Talking about immigrants as bad hombres, that kind of thing. So we have the president on one side, and then we have congressional Republicans on the other. I'm wondering, no matter what the president says now about DACA, I'm not seeing any signs that the same immigration hardliners in the Republican Party in Congress have changed their view at all. And they're the ones holding all the cards, right?
Not necessarily.
Okay.
You know, they. I don't know if you're going to change the minds of Republicans like Steve King of Iowa, who's a very prominent immigration hardliner in the Congress. But remember, Paul Ryan, for example, is the Speaker of the House. In the past, he's been of the view that comprehensive immigration reform is a good thing. If done right, if they can get concessions that make Republicans happy, that there is a path forward. He has said that this is a job for Congress to fix, that it's a legislative problem. So I think the interest is there. I think people like Paul Ryan and leaders on Capitol Hill have to balance the long-term health of the Republican Party and its standing among various elements of the electorate and the base.
Mm-hmm.
And the party base right now has a pretty virulent skepticism of comprehensive immigration legislation, or of any immigration legislation, to be frank. But I think that people who take the long view in politics, who care about the party, who want to protect the party, who want Hispanic Americans to feel like they can be an active member of the Republican Party, that there's a home for them there, and they're trying to find a way to do that. I will not in any way underestimate that the politics are much harder for Republicans than it is for Democrats, especially if you're Democrats and you're looking at the midterms and you want Hispanic Americans to show up and vote. President Trump is giving them a lot of reasons to feel motivated to show up next year and cast a ballot.
So could that possibly be reason to hope, ironically, that some action in Congress could take place on this in the next 6 months?
It certainly could. And that's what I'm saying, where I think that they have to make the calculation. Is it better to pass a bill that might make your base angry but take the issue away as sort of your political bludgeon? Or is the base too strong and you don't have the votes that you're just going to have to fight it out in the spring and let the chips fall where they may? I don't think they know that yet. The president kind of sprung this on Congress. There wasn't a long buildup or a lot of warning to say he was going to do it. I think they're still kind of assessing where their members are and what's possible. Democrats are saying they want to do it now. Some are saying they want to do it as early as this month. Mm. That seems a little ambitious. But if you want to inoculate the issue, if you want to take the Dreamer issue off the table, sometimes the political calculation is just to do it and get it over with. Because, if they pass the Dream Act, the legislation this year, the story about the confrontation of it goes away, right?
Right. And
politics are weird. I mean, it is not inconceivable that President Donald Trump, who campaigned as a very different Republican, could be a Republican president who signs the Dream Act, which creates a pathway to citizenship for certain elements of people in the country, into law. I mean, that would be a remarkable moment in both in policy and history and in politics. But I just feel like normal rules don't always apply,
right,
when we're talking about the Trump administration and how he's dealing with Congress.
We are living in exceptional times.
We are living in exceptional times.
Susan Davis, congressional reporter for NPR. This has been absolutely fascinating. Thank you so much for walking us through America's fraught recent history with immigration reform. Thank you.
You're very welcome.